Amen. Anybody notice that it's summertime in Texas? It's the only one that came dressed for the cold. All right, somebody else. You just never know, do you? But, amen. But if it's a little hot in here, we're trying. Amen. We turned it on plenty of time, but it's just hot outside. If you think it's hot in here, just wait to get out there. If you think it's hot out there, don't go to hell.
That's right.
It's going to be hotter there. Amen. Worship the Lord with us. We're going to try this song. Men often dream of faraway lands with strange sounding names. Although it seems each time I dream, it's much the same. I see a place that I have never been before, and a father who waits by a big shining gate and a wide open door. What's that I hear? As if the sound of a trumpet. Oh, I feel the touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't awake me. Soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Now this old world has lost its charm. It's no place for me. It's that white shining throne in my new home that I long to see. And I spend my days in much the same way. I wait for the sound. Then my hands will be raised with one shout of praise, headed for higher ground. Oh, what's that I hear? As if the sound of a trumpet. I feel the touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't awake me. Soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Oh, what's that I hear? As if the sound of a trumpet. Oh, I feel the tug of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't awake me. Soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody ready to go to heaven? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonderful world that God made, but we've done a royal job of messing it up. Amen. And I'm getting ready to go to a place that hasn't ever been messed up, and it's not ever going to be. Because the Bible said that sin cannot enter there. Amen. Let's stand together today. Thank you for being here tonight. Good to see everybody. Amen. All of our groups that Action Youth Corps, and the kids can, and adults can too. Amen. Adults can stay right here with me. Amen. With your ears open and your Bible open and your heart open and your spirit open to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to the book of Matthew, to the 13th chapter. And we're going to read some of the wonderful words of Jesus that are very, as always, impacting and important. Jesus never said an idle word. All of the words that are recorded in the scripture are important, and oftentimes they have layers of meaning. You can read them on one level, and then you can read them on another level, and then you can read them on another level. It's like the layers of an onion. You take off one layer, and there's another one, and then there's another one, and there's another one. Amen. The Bible's like that. It's an awesome, awesome book written by an awesome God. But Matthew 13, verse 24, Jesus gives us a parable that explains some important things. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Everybody say, "Good seed." "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?' And he said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' And the servant said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then drop down to the 37th verse. It's a verse of explanation. "And he answered and said unto them, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.'" Amen. And so I want to talk to you tonight about deception. Deception. The devil's dominant device. Everybody say deception.
Deception.
Amen. That's what the devil uses primarily. Deception. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. First of all, I think it would be good to know how to know when the devil is lying. And the answer is when his lips move. That's when he's lying. Also, you can be sure that the devil, there's one thing especially he cannot do, and cannot tell the truth. The Bible says the truth is not in him. So he cannot tell the truth. He tries to quote the Bible, but he can't get that right. He tried to quote it to Eve, didn't he? And he got a knot in his tail. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." And God said, "Thou shalt surely die." So the devil can never, ever get it right. Anytime he starts quoting the Bible, he'll get it wrong. And so do his children. I've heard people try to quote the Bible and get it so messed up. because they were not children of light. I went to a meeting, Brother Hart. I don't know if you were there. Perhaps you were. Remember Guru Maharaji? Guru Maharaji, if you remember, back in the 70s, was about 12 years old, I suppose. He was a little fat Eastern Asian man, and a boy, I should say, sitting on a throne up there chewing bubble gum, and people were worshiping him. Of course, the air was full of marijuana and such, so I guess they were in the spirit, their spirit, and they were worshiping Maharaji. But what really caught my attention most about this, we were in a comparative religions class, that's the only reason I went, but there was a screen behind him like this, huge, huge, huge screen, in the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. And on that screen were verses of scripture being flashed. But you know what? They were all perverted. All of them had been changed and twisted just a little bit. You see, you can add nothing to truth without making it a lie. Truth needs no adornment. Truth will always stand alone simply by itself. One guy was so excited, he said, "Woo!" He said, "What I'm preaching is more than the truth." Well, you be careful about folks like that. If you get step beyond truth, it's too much. Step back, it's a little bit. Amen. Stay within the bounds and the boundaries of truth. Amen. And so deception is the devil's main weapon. It's what he uses against us. It's what he used against Eve, wasn't it? Amen. The first thing he did was deceive her. Deception is his main tool. And so he deceived Eve. Now, Adam wasn't deceived. Adam was just flat out disobedient. So you want to blame somebody? Who was the greater sinner? Eve that was deceived, or Adam that just blatantly disobeyed? That must have been an interesting time. I've always wondered, why didn't Adam stop her? I don't know what he was doing. He knew what God said. Was he waiting to see if she'd die? What kind of man is that? What kind of husband is that? That lets his wife eat a forbidden fruit that God said, if you eat it, you're going to die. And he let her eat it and then watch just to see if it's going to happen. And it didn't, so then he took a bite. And lo and behold, they both died. And every person has died since that time, with the exception of those that the Lord took home. Enoch didn't die. Bible said he walked with God and he was not, because the Lord just said, come on up here, Enoch. You're closer to my house than you are to yours. Come on home with me. Amen. And then we know that Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. Amen. I think we'll see them again in the book of Revelation. But everybody else that's ever tasted death, ever lived, has tasted death, including Jesus, God manifest in flesh, who laid down his life and sacrificed himself for you and I. But it all started with deception. Be careful, folks. Be careful. The devil is a master at this. He is so good at what he does. I'm going to try to be as good a Christian as he is the devil. And if I can be as good a Christian as he is the devil, I'll be very successful. He's a master at what he does. Amen. The parable says that there was a sower. That's the Lord himself. And it says there was a seed. Seed is it's life. Amen. By its very definition, by its evidence, a seed is life. And so he sowed life in the field. And the Bible said he calls them here the children of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're a child of the kingdom, that means you've got a king. Amen. You've got a sovereign in your life. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. And then it says that secondly, there was another sowing. It was a stealthy thing. It was done under the shadow of darkness. And somebody went in and sowed a second time. And this time he said the sowing was the children of the wicked one. And so we have two types of people in the world today. All of us at one time were children of the wicked one. Every one of us. All of us were. There's not anybody here tonight that can boast about how great you were in the past, nor really in the present. No matter how good you may be, it's not good enough. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said when we've done everything, done it all, we still should say we are unprofitable servants. Amen. I've done all I know to do, but it's not enough. I don't know about you. I love Jesus, but I want to love him more. I'm serving the Lord, but I want to serve him better. Amen. I believe that I can do a little bit better. I really do. I know I can. Amen. And I'm trying to do better every day. Amen. I know I can if the Lord will just help me just a little bit. But you notice something interesting about this parable. The devil did not destroy the seed. You know why? Because he couldn't. Because God wouldn't let him. Hallelujah. That's the only reason he didn't. I believe if the devil could have, he would destroy the harvest. If he had the ability, he would have sent a flood. He would have sent a fire. He would have sent pestilence. He would have done something to destroy because he's a destroyer. But God said you can't do that. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. You don't have to worry about the devil killing you. If the devil had the power to kill you, there would not be one saved person. Everybody, before they got to an altar, they'd die. He doesn't have the power of death. There's only one that has that. And his name is Jesus Christ. God has put a protective wall round about his children. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. The word peculiar really means people that are in fortress. God has built a fortress around us. And the devil can only get as close as God allows him to. And God does allow him to. Amen. He allows him to for your instruction and for your growth and education. Amen. How would you know that God's a healer if you'd never been sick? How would you know that God's a deliverer if you'd never been in trouble? How would you know that God is a Savior if you'd never been lost? God allows things to happen in life, but always there's a perimeter of protection. Now let me say this. You can step beyond that perimeter if you want to, and then you're in the devil's territory. When you cross over a line that God has drawn, then you're outside his protection. And God is not responsible for what happens to you. The things that are in this book are here for a reason. The things that he wrote and the things that he said, he put them in here for a reason. Those are boundaries in the Christian life. You step beyond those things and you get into a territory that are going to cause you pain and suffering and consequences. Amen. And so the scripture tells us that the enemy, he couldn't destroy it because the Lord said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus said this, Holy Father, keep those whom thou hast given me from the evil one. So the Lord's already prayed for your protection. And did you know that prayers never die? Amen. Did anybody here have a praying mother or a praying father? Do you know those prayers never died? Amen. Did you have a praying grandma or grandpa? Did you know those prayers never die? Hallelujah. The Bible says that God bottles that up. He said, that's good stuff. It's not going to waste. Amen. He keeps those prayers. The Bible said they go up and they're like incense to the Lord. They're in His presence always. Hallelujah. Prayer is very special to the Lord. And so if we understand that, it would encourage us to pray more, right? So the devil doesn't have any power to destroy. So what did he do? He always does this. He tries to imitate God. Did you know Satan is not a creator and he's never done anything original? He cannot. Neither can people. We think we're so unique. No, you're not. You can only do what you see or what you hear. That's the only things you can do. We can only repeat. When men started making gods for themselves, what did they make? Things that God had, images of what God had already made. Have you ever seen some of those gods that they worshipped in the Old Testament? You know, they look like birds and beasts and mixed with men and all kinds of confusion, because that's what happens. You get away from God, you get into confusion. And that's what they look like. We are not creators. We can make nothing unique or new or original. We can only imitate. Paul said that, didn't he? He said, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Amen. Be a follower of me as I follow Christ. Now, that's a good thing. Follow your pastor. Follow the good saints of God. As long as they follow Christ, they quit following Christ, you quit following them. Don't care who they are. Amen. Don't care how great they were. If they quit following the Lord, you quit following them. They step outside the Word of God, that's it. No more. Don't follow them any further. Amen. I admire a man that he built a mighty church in the north, and then he got caught up in a false doctrine. And he started trying to teach the church the new doctrine. And they called him and they said, Pastor, they said, we can't do that. They said, you've already taught us what the Word of God says, and this is not the Word of God. So the beautiful thing is, he taught them so well that he couldn't deceive them. He walked off, and today, as far as I know, if he's alive, he's still in deception. But that church is still walking in truth. Hallelujah. It never varied. It never altered. It kept right on going. Hear me today, saints of God. It's great to have good leadership and respect leadership and follow leadership as long as it stays in the perimeter of the Word. But if the leadership gets outside the perimeter of the Word of God, then it's time for you to just stay with the Word. Just stay with the Word. Hallelujah. It's important that we are not deceived. The Bible said that Satan is a deceiver. That's how he does it. He imitates God because he's not original. So he sowed in the field. You know what he sowed? He sowed a thing called tares. You know what a tare looks like? It looks almost identical. Everybody say almost. Almost identical to wheat. You really can't tell the difference until harvest. But you see, tares, although it looks like wheat, it's worthless. Wheat nourishes people, and tares nauseate people. Tares make people sick. They make people dizzy. They make people drunk. That's what a tare does. It can't nourish you. And so the devil makes it look like the real thing, but it's not like the real thing. Because wheat has life in it. Tares has death in it. You see, Satan gets as close to God as he can, but he can never get it right. So the tares were there and the wheat was there. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Let me give you some really, really good advice here that Brother Holly gave us when I was in Bible school. He said, never judge the Bible by men, but always judge men by the Bible. Here, listen closely, folks. Here's one of the things that I've heard so many times. You know, when it comes to salvation, and we have the plan of salvation, the Word of God. But sometimes when you tell people the plan of salvation, and they so want to obey it, but the first question they're going to ask is, what about Uncle Lukey? Uncle Lukey was a good man, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He was a good, but he wasn't baptized in Jesus' name. So what about Uncle Lukey? Well, I don't know about Uncle Lukey. He's in God's hands. But I do know what Acts 2:38 says. And I do know that's what the church preached and believed. And I do know that they never changed it in the Word of God. They never altered it. It stayed the same all through the Bible. That's all that I know is just what it says. And so I'm not going to judge my Bible by Uncle Luke, no matter how good he was. Amen. And so listen, that's how deception starts. The devil says, well, you can't believe that because your grandma didn't believe that. And you know how good she was. Or you lift grandma up to the Lord. He's just and he's righteous. And I promise he'll take good care of grandma. He'll do the right thing. But you go ahead and obey what the Lord has opened your eyes to see. And I promise you, it won't hurt grandma for you to do that. If grandma's already gone on, then she's already met the Lord, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But as for you, you just need to obey the truth when you hear it. As for me, I just need to continue in the Word that I know. And thank God that I have the privilege. Amen. And so the tares and the wheat, they're growing up together. They look a lot alike. There are some things people preach that at first they really look good. Have you ever heard something and it sure did sound good, but it just had a little ring to it that was a little off? You better listen to that. The Bible says that the Spirit of truth will bear witness to the truth, you see. You know, that's called the Spirit of truth. And when it hears truth, it bears witness to that. And it says, yea and amen. And there's a spirit in you that says, right, amen. That's what the word amen means. It means, yes, even so, that's right. So there's a spirit in you that says amen. But then you hear something that's just a little off. And that spirit doesn't say anything. It says, whoa. You learn to listen to that. Amen. Now, I've heard a few things and I checked it out and guess what? It was right. Hallelujah. And I've heard some other things. I checked it out and it was wrong. Amen. So be careful because the devil, he delights in deception. Amen. And so let me give you here today some things. And I'm going to give you eight things or eight ways the devil deceives. Did you know the word the devil means deceiver? It means deceiver. So when you call him the devil, you're calling him the deceiver. Man. And he's the master of deceit. And the Bible said he's the father of lies. Amen. It originated with him. James chapter 1 verse 22 said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. People that hear the word and don't do the word deceive themselves. People that hear the truth and do not obey the truth deceive themselves. Amen. That's right. And it's, and again, one of the ways we do that, we start justifying and all making all kinds of excuses and doing all kinds of things, and we can deceive ourselves. You know, one of the biggest lies that I've ever heard is the one that says, oh, there's just lots of roads going to heaven. Where do you find that in the Bible? The Bible just talks about two ways. It said one of those ways is broad and straight, and it said it's going straight to destruction. And it said there's one other way, and it's narrow, and it's difficult. And it says that one's going to heaven. Those are the only two ways I read about. So there's only one way to heaven, and it's very narrow. It doesn't have a lot of give to it. Amen. Somebody said one time to a person, they said, you're so narrow-minded, if you landed on the pin, it put out both eyeballs. That's pretty narrow-minded, isn't it? But when it comes to going to heaven, the Bible said it's narrow. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way. He said, I am the way. We live in a generation when people are telling us, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter who you believe in. You believe in God your way. I believe in God my way. Amen. And that's okay. That's their option. Anybody can believe anything they want to believe. But if you want to go to heaven, the Bible says there's just one way. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the truth. He said, I am the life. Now, I know that's narrow, but if we're going to believe the Bible, that's what it says. Amen. We live in a day of diversity, but that doesn't include Christians. I said, don't you believe they believe in diversity because they don't believe in Christians being part of that diversity. The only way you can join the worldly crowd is you've got to deny what you believe. You've got to deny Jesus Christ. You can't believe anything. You've got to fall for everything. You've got to believe that Jesus is just one of many gods and many ways and just another religion, and there's nothing special about him. Amen. That's the way it is. That's the deceiver, folks. He said, you mean to tell me that you really believe there's just one God? Yes, amen. What about all these other people? Are you telling me they're wrong? Let me just say, we've got a big responsibility, folks. We're not saviors. But we are called to be witnesses. We can't save anybody, but we're called to tell everybody. That is our job. That is our responsibility. But what if they don't hear? Not my problem. What if they don't believe? I'm sorry. But woe be unto us if we don't tell it and we don't preach it. And we don't share it. And we don't live it. Amen. So deception number one, he said, is to hear the word and not do the word. That deceives. And then deception number two, 1 John 1 and 8. 1 John 1 and 8. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin is an act, and sin is a state of being. We do not practice sin as a state of being. Before we came to Jesus Christ, we lived in sin. Sin was our natural habitat. We practiced sin every day. We were sinners by nature. That's what John's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. We don't live that way anymore. But if we say we have no sin, he said we deceive ourselves. Now let me say that still applies to Pentecostals. If you don't think you have any sin and you never sin, you probably need to study what sin really is. It's more than saying, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with them that do. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's gossiping and backbite and being proud and haughty and having an ugly spirit. Amen. And I can mention a whole bunch of other things. Amen. But while you're saying amen, I'm going to keep going. Amen. Folks, we're not perfect yet. And we've taught it before. Sin means missing the mark. Amen. If you don't pray like you ought to pray, that's missing the mark. If you don't do the things you know you ought to be doing, that's missing the mark. Hello? Isn't it? So you see, all of us have something to work on every day. And so if we say, I don't have any sin. He said, you're deceiving yourself. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, that's another story. Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. Deception number 3, Galatians 6:3 said, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Pride. Pride. I'm the only one around here that really believes in wholeness. If everybody believed like me, we'd be all right. If it don't come out of my pipe, it ain't smoke. Why, you don't believe fat meat's greasy? Huh? I've heard all that about brothers and sisters in the same church, in the same fellowship. If you don't believe it like I believe it, if you're just as holy as I am, if you're just as good as me, the Bible said deception's in there. If you think you're something and you're nothing. Amen. Be careful. Pride can get it. I've watched it, folks. I've watched good holiness people get so self-righteous. And the next thing you know, they fall flat on their face. I've watched men that became so lifted up in their holiness, and when they fell, it was such a fall. What does the scripture say? Pride and a haughty spirit goeth before a fall. Be careful. Don't think you're something when you're nothing. Keep it all in perspective. Deception number 4, 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. That's interesting, isn't it? The devil don't even have to do it. You can deceive yourself. He'll be saying amen. And the devil never goes to pity parties. I mean, God never goes to pity parties. But the devil never misses one. He loves pity parties. When you start talking about how bad you've got it and how mistreated you are, oh, he loves it. He licks it up, man. He'll take your own arm and nearly beat you to death with it, patting yourself on the back. Yeah, he loves pity parties, but God never goes to one. Never will. And he despises pity. Pity is, it's just pride. It's just another face of pride. That's all it is. It's pride with a different dress or a different suit. That's all it is. Pity. God has no place for pity. But he said people deceive themselves. He said, if any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Amen. If you think you know it all and you've got it all figured out. Amen. That's what happened. There was a group in the time of the apostles that were called the Gnostics. And they're still around today, by the way. And the Gnostics teach that there's not very many people that can really understand this. Not very many people. We're the only ones that really understand the Scriptures. Because God has shown us the deep things. And only if you're a Gnostic can you be part of this select few of brilliant, wise people. Even the apostles couldn't join that class. Even in their time. They looked down on Paul. Yeah, they did. He couldn't be part of that crowd. Because he believed this was for everybody. Peter believed this was for everybody. John believed this was for everybody. They thought this was for everybody, not for a select few of wise people. Amen. So you got to be careful. That's deception, isn't it? The Bible says they deceive themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29 said, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, which are things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Bottom line. No glory for the flesh, ever. Amen. One guy said it well one time. He said, education's good. He said, get a good education and then get over it. I'm all for education. I live with women that are more educated than I am, but they're not as smart as me. Don't tell them I said that. Somebody's already left. They're on the way. No. Education is a wonderful thing, and I'm all for it. I like to see people get education. There's no glory in ignorance, folks. I said, there's no glory in ignorance. It's okay to be an educated person. Just don't be proud and lifted up in your education. Amen. Just understand that it's okay to learn everything you can learn. That's a wonderful thing. But don't get lifted up in that and deceive yourself. Some people have I read something so sad one time. I was reading an article about scientists, and all of them were studying, of all things, biblical archaeology. And I don't remember, there were four or five of them. They were so smart, so wise, biblical archaeology, and not one of them believed in God. Every one of them started out believing in God. And they thought, I want to study biblical archaeology so that I can really be a good Christian. And they educated God right out of themselves. You know why? Because they took the word of science over the word of God. Though science has been misproven time and time and time and time again to be false. But they believe that more than they believe the word of God. And they educated themselves right out of their salvation. Be careful, folks. It can be deceptive. Amen. All the young folks are gone here tonight. But higher education is a wonderful thing. And I'm all about people pursuing education. But listen, don't you let them educate God out of you. Don't you let them make a monkey out of you. You let them teach you evolution, that's exactly what they'll do. They'll teach you that you're nothing but a monkey that's lost his tail and his arms got shorter, lost some of his hair. Took a few million years, but you're no different. Huh? Not true. Not true. Amen. November the 28th to December the 1st. We're going to be hearing a lot more about that. Brother Steve Grohman's going to come and he's going to teach a creation seminar. And he's going to tell you where the dinosaurs came from, what happened to them. He's going to tell you that the world is not millions and billions of years old. And he's going to prove it. He's going to use the Bible. He's going to teach the word of the Lord. And he's going to educate us in what the Scripture says. And he's going to tell us about true science. Amen. Don't want to miss it. And you want to bring all of your friends, especially those that are having trouble with their faith. November the 28th. That's a Sunday morning. It'll go through Wednesday night. Each session will be 2 hours. It'll be lengthy, but it'll be good. Amen. And I'm going to practice tonight. We're going to go 2 hours just to see if you can take it. No. Amen. No, not really. Amen. But Brother Hart, we're going to be getting them ready. We're going to put them in training here for the next couple of months. Praise God. Amen. All right. So you don't want to miss that. That's going to be Brother Steve Grohman. And if you want to look it up, it's creation@creationseminar.net. Amen. All right. You can get it after church, but let me get back to what I'm saying. Deception. He said in James chapter 1, verse 26, I sure like James. He's a very practical man. He's my kind of fella. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. And what he's really saying is, if you can't control your tongue, you deceive your own heart, and you ain't a Christian. Well, now that's what he... Now, I know that's a little strong, but James was just kind of like that. He's very practical. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformist that formed that later on, they formed the Lutheran church from his teachings. He didn't form the church, but they formed it in his name. He had a hard time with James. He thought he was so tough, he didn't know if he even wanted to include him or not. He had a hard time dealing with James, but I like James because he just kind of tells it like it is. Amen. So, and again, those folks that say, I don't have any sin. How about backbiting and tail-bearing? I love that story about the three guys that were out in a boat out in the middle of the lake, got under conviction. One of them said, brethren, he said, I trust you, you're my friends. He said, I've never told anybody this, but confession's good for the soul. He said, you know, I have a little problem with drink. He said, every now and then I just can't help myself. He said, I just drink a little. And he said, pray for me. The other brother said, but I'm glad you said that, brother. He said, I have a little problem myself telling the truth. He said, every now and then I just stretch things. I say things I know they're not true. Can't help myself. I just do that. Pray for me. Then looked at the third guy and he said, since we're on the subject, he said, my problem's gossip and I can't wait to get back and tell what I just heard. So you got to be careful who you tell, what you tell. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another, but you be careful. Now, by the way, I've heard people say that says faults, not sins, but it's exactly the same word. It's the word sin, if you want to translate it that way. You go back to the original word, it's sin. So I've heard people different, well, if you don't tell them about your sin, just tell them your fault. Same thing. Same word. Exactly the same word. But you do be careful who you tell it to. There are some people you can't trust. Amen. You just be very careful. And so that guy, he's in this deception number. Amen. Tail bearing, the Bible says, backbiting, gossiping, lying, half-truths. Well, what's the difference in a half-truth and a lie? Nothing. If you add anything to truth, you turn the truth into a lie. Just that simple. The Bible talks about sowing discord among the brethren. The Bible said God hates that. He hates that. Amen. So the Bible said if we're involved in any of that stuff, we're deceiving ourselves if we think we're living the Christian life. Amen. Anybody listening to what we're saying here tonight? I'm talking about deception. You can deceive yourself. I get concerned about people that get real judgmental and they don't mind talking about anybody. And they have so many faults in their own life. But they are so blind to their own things. But they really don't mind criticizing somebody else. They would get so upset if you mentioned what's going on in their life, but they don't mind dragging everybody else's shortcomings and faults and sins out for everybody else to see. If you're one of them, James just simply said, your religion's vain. It's empty. Doesn't mean anything. Amen. Now, you know, I love this book because it just kind of lets us know how it really is. Galatians 6 and 7 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you think you can do wrong and get by, you're deceiving yourself. You think you can cover up your sins, you're just deceiving yourself. Amen. The Bible said that which was done in secret, he's going to shout from the housetop. So be careful. Amen. You can deceive yourself. You can deceive yourself. And then the scripture said that in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9, he said, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you can live that lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying that if you fell into that and God got you out of it and you stay out of it, amen, that's a different story. But if you live that lifestyle and say, don't anybody tell me that I'm wrong, the Bible said you're just deceiving yourself. We got people marching in the streets today, amen, and they've come out of the closet. And they said, you know, we are what we are. We're born this way. We can't help ourselves. And you've got to accept us as we are. You have to accept us. Well, the Bible said they're just deceiving themselves. But you know what? There's some of those same folks and our churches all around the country that have turned their lives around. Amen. They have children that they're raising that's their own kids, begotten in the old-fashioned way. Amen. And they're living for God. And they're living holy, overcoming lives because God delivered them. God can deliver you out of sin, but he won't do it if you're deceiving yourself. If you want to stay in your sin, he'll let you. And if you think you're saved and staying in your sin, then you're deceiving yourself. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. But you got to come out, folks. We can't keep doing what we were doing and say we're Christians. We're just deceiving ourselves. That's what the scripture said. And then lastly, he said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You ever heard the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. One rotten apple spoils the whole barrel. Amen. Isn't that what happens? If you hang around the wrong kind of people, you become like those people. I've noticed that bitter people like to be around bitter people. Carnal people like to be around carnal people. Amen. And you be careful. One of the ways the devil deceives people is he says, well, you know, the only way you're going to change them is to go be among them. That's not what it said, is it? It says, come out. You don't change people by joining them. I remember back in the early 70s, late 60s, we had the Jesus movement. And we had Christians that you know, that was the hippie era. And so Christians were growing their hair long and dressing in the you know, the tie-dye and all the rest of it, and growing their beards and smoking their marijuana and drinking with the rest of them, saying, and we love Jesus. Come on and join us. And people were saying, what's the difference in me and you? Oh, but I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. Oh, I don't see any difference. You talk like I talk. You drink like I drink. You smoke what I smoke. You look exactly like I look. You talk. What's the difference between us? There's none. They deceive themselves. You're being judgmental, preacher. No, I'm telling the word of the Lord here. The scripture said, come out. Come out. Separate. Be different. Amen. We said, well, you know, Jesus, you know, he had long hair and beard. No, he didn't. I don't believe that Jesus allowed his prophets and apostles to write about things that he did. I've heard people say, well, he had the Nazarite vow. No, he didn't. He was a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth, but he was not a Nazarite. I understand you. You know why the Nazarite vow was so strange? Because it caused a man to have his hair long. That means everybody else had their hair short. Otherwise, what's so great about a Nazarite vow? So people have taken the word of God and twisted it. We got a few pictures hanging on the wall, different places, about how somebody thought Jesus looked. And they took that as gospel. Not true. Not true. Not true. Amen. So people, you see, you've got to be careful of the company that you keep. The Bible said we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We're here. Let me just say it this way. It's the difference in a thermostat and a thermometer. Some people are thermometers. All a thermometer does is register the atmosphere or the temperature. That's all it does. It goes up and down. If it's in a cold place, it goes down. If it's in a hot place, it goes up. That's all a thermostat does. And some people are thermostats. If they're with low-living people, they're low. If they're with high-living people, they want to be high. Wherever, whoever they're with, they're just reflecting the temperature of where they're living. A thermostat, on the other hand, tries to make a difference. If you set that thermostat on 70 degrees and you set it on cool, and it's hotter in here than 70 degrees, it's going to pull it down to 70 degrees. It's going to adjust the temperature to where it is. If in the winter time it's 60 degrees or 50 degrees in here and you set that on 70, it's going to raise it up to where it is. That's what a thermostat does. Christians are called to be thermostats, not thermometers. We're not here just to reflect who we're with. If I'm with somebody down here, I'm here. If I'm with somebody that believes this, I'm up here. Wherever I am, whoever I'm with, that's how I am. That's not the Christian life, and that's what he's talking about here. You be a thermostat. When you're in church, you're set on 70. And when you go to work, it's still on 70. And when you get in your house, it's still on 70. And when you get around your family, it's still 70. And when you're on vacation, it's still 70. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it's 70. Amen. And it's going to be too hot for some folks and too cold for others, but you're still 70. Amen. So, otherwise you can deceive yourself. You can deceive yourself. Amen. Well, you know, I win them by being like them. No, you'll never win them. You'll never win them. Amen. This doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, you'll just lose your testimony is all you'll do. Amen. How do we survive deception? The way we decide to survive deception is just simply to know and practice the Word of God. Isn't that what Jesus did? When Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, he just simply used the Word of God to defeat him. When the devil would quote the Word of God, Jesus would get it right and quote it back. I said he'd get it right and quote it back. Now, the reason he could do that is because he knew the Word of God. It was the Word incarnate. But if you're going to defeat deception, you've got to know the Word of God. The Bible said, hide it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Somebody said, well, you know, it's just so hard to read the Bible. You know why? Because the devil wants you to stay away from that book. He doesn't care whatever else you read. If you want to read Reader's Digest, he don't care. If you want to read Time magazine, he doesn't care. Whatever else you read, he doesn't care. Amen. He's got some suggestions for what he'd like you to read. But he doesn't care about anything else. But he does care about this Bible. So he will do everything he can to keep you from reading this book. If you read this book and you get good out of it and you learn it, it's going to be because you made an effort and you disciplined yourself to do it. But I promise you one thing. If you'll read this book with the right spirit, it'll become a part of your life. Jesus said, "My word are spirit and they are life." David said, "I have hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." That was David's motive. He said, "If I can get enough of this book in me, I won't sin. I'll know what's right. I won't be deceived." Amen. And so the greatest protection we have is the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. You know what? I've heard people talk about it, and we've said this before, but I'm going to say it again many times. But there are people today that attack doctrine. They said, "Don't preach doctrine. Doctrine is what divides the church." No, it isn't. Doctrine is what unifies the church. If we'll preach what the Bible says, just what the Bible says, only what the Bible says, it will unify those that want to believe the Bible. Those that don't want to believe the Bible, I'm sorry, they can believe what they want to. But as for me and my house, we're going to preach and believe this. Doctrine. Jesus preached doctrine. You can hear anything you want about Jesus. These people, you know, they think, they say Jesus was Fidel Castro and Che Guevara and all the rest of them. Guevara, he was like all those guys. He was just a rebel in his time. No, he wasn't. He was God manifest in flesh. He said very simply, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." They said, "Well, he was a revolutionary in his time. He came to no, he didn't. He didn't even address a lot of issues that people are so fanatic about today. Didn't even touch it. Because Jesus understood one thing. There are some things that will never change until your spirit changes. Did you know there was a lot of slavery in the time of Christ? There were 60 million slaves only in the Roman Empire. And Jesus never condemned it. What kind of revolutionary is that? Boy, that got quiet. Let me hasten to say, they were ever color, they were ever culture, they were ever language, but they were slaves. And Jesus never addressed it. And the apostles never addressed it. How revolutionary is that? You know what they taught about it? They said, "If you're a slave, be a good one. Be the best you can be." And they said, "If you're an owner, you better treat that person like a brother. If you're a Christian, you treat them right." Boy, it's quiet in here. Amen. Did I open a keg of worms here or something? I'm just telling you the truth. All these revolutionaries telling you how revolutionary Jesus was. He was. But he didn't talk about the kingdom out there. He talked about the kingdom in here. There's not a whole lot we can do, but you hear me. We get things right in here, we'll get things right out there. Do you know why slavery was banished in the United States of America? Because of Christianity. Do you know why women started being treated right in the United States of America? Because of Christianity. Do you know what elevated women from being nothing but no anything different than a dog or any other animal or some piece of equipment? Christianity! It's the only religion that's brought equality and brought people up and lifted people and brought them out of darkness into light. Because it teaches us to treat people right. Islam doesn't do that. Hinduism doesn't do that. Confucianism doesn't do that. Buddhism doesn't do that. Hare Krishna doesn't do that. The only religion in the world that will do it is Christianity. And yet all the revolutionaries hate Christianity. Is that deception or what? It's exactly what it is. Amen. Well, I've got a whole bunch more to say, but I'm going to stop with this. Jesus, in his Olivet Discourse, 4 times used the word deception. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Folks, you're listening to a man here tonight. Don't let me deceive you. And I'm saying that sincerely. You get your head in this book right here. And you don't let me deceive you. You do yourself and me a favor. And if I get away from this, let's get together and let's get it right. I don't want to be lost. And I don't want to lead anybody else wrong. He said, you take heed and you don't let any man deceive you. And the second thing he said, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This world has so distorted Christ that when one comes saying, I am Christ, they're going to believe him. And he's going to be Antichrist. He's going to be everything that Jesus is not. But people are going to flock to him because they have set themselves up for deception. They have rejected the Christ, and they will accept Antichrist because they are deceived. Amen. And then the scripture says, Matthew chapter 28 and 11, and false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Amen. Be careful, be careful, be careful. With what you hear and what you believe. Amen. Now, he gets a little bit stronger in the 24th verse. He said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. Now listen closely. And they shall show great signs and wonders. You got that? Great signs and wonders. He said, they're going to do miracles. Are you hearing me? He said, they're going to be doing miracles. He said, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now you hear me? The Bible said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, get that carefully and closely. He did not say, believers follow signs. He said, signs follow believers. Be careful. Don't get lifted up in people that seem to have a lot of spiritual power, and they're always doing signs and wonders and miracles, and they guarantee you a miracle a minute or your money back. I mean, they can just blow on you and you get the Holy Ghost and fall out. Don't even have to touch you. Just wave their hand in your direction. Amen. Woo, what a man of God. Be careful. Be careful. If he's doing anything that's not in that book right there, you get away from him as fast as you can. Oh, but he sings. Don't care if he sings. Don't care what he does. He may have a blinking cross in his forehead, all dripping out of both hands. Amen. Filling bottles. Amen. It brings cloth, white cloth, and it turns red while he's preaching so he can sell you a thread because it's a cross from the tomb of Christ himself. All these silly gimmicks have been tried before by imitators, deceivers. Some of them started out right and then went wrong. You hear me and hear me well tonight, folks. Don't you worry about signs. People that build a ministry on signs, whenever the signs are not there, they start creating signs, and that's when they get in trouble. If you build a ministry or try to build a church on spectacular, woo! Man, we always got something going on around here. Amen. What happens when it's just an old dry Bible study like Wednesday night? Hmm? Amen. You get people's appetite whetted for that kind of stuff, and that's all they want. Amen. Got to have more miracles. 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 Oh, miracles. No. Word. Spirit. Worship. Peace. Joy. Righteousness. I said, that's the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with miracles. Nothing wrong with signs. We need them. We want them. God grants them from time to time. But I'm not going to put my salvation on that, or I can be deceived. Not knocking it. Just telling you, don't let that deceive you. Be very careful. Amen. Because these are the things. Amen. I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible said in the last days in Thessalonians, I believe it is, the Lord said that he would send some people strong delusion. The Lord would send. Everybody say the Lord. Say it again. The Lord. The Lord will send them strong delusion because they believe, they love not the truth. Because they loved not the truth. It's got to be more than just up here. It's got to be in here. Amen. It's got to make that little journey for about 12 inches or whatever it is from your head to your heart. You got to love it. And that's how you survive deception. If you get this in your heart, in your head and in your heart, but you got it down in your heart and you've got the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, it will keep you from deception unless you turn that voice off. Some people turn it off because it starts telling them things they don't want to hear. Little boy earned his first paycheck. He's so excited. And so he came to his dad. His dad said, "Now, son," he said, "let me teach you what the Bible says about tithing." He said, "Now, 10% of what you earn belongs to God." The boy said, "Don't teach me that, Daddy." There are people today that when the Holy Ghost starts teaching things, some things they don't want to know. You got to be careful, folks. Let's listen to the voice of truth. Love it, obey it, and I promise it'll keep you from deception. Let's stand together. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you for your time, your attention here tonight. Amen. Thank you, God, for truth. Thank you for truth. Thank you for keeping us. I don't want to be deceived. And I'm confident tonight in the word of the Lord and its ability to keep me. I never wanted to get to the place, God, where I begin to justify my wrong. Because if I start justifying things instead of changing things, I open myself to the spirit of deception. When you talk to me and I will not listen, and when you convict me and I reject your conviction, then I am setting myself up for deception. Hear me and help me today, God. Help me to be open to the spirit of truth, sensitive to it. Help me not only to be a hearer, but help me to be a doer. Help me not only to preach, but to practice. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be a follower of the word and the spirit of God. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. I want to walk in righteousness. Amen. Praise God. And why don't we just come tonight and open our hearts a few minutes to the Lord. Gather around the front of this building and lift up your voice, lift up your hands, and lift up your heart to the Lord. Open up your spirit to the Lord here tonight. God, we're confessing to you. We're telling you that we don't want to be deceived. I know that there's deception in the world. I know that. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be. God, I don't want to get somewhere on my journey and stop and say I can't go any further, won't go any further. This is as far as I'm willing to go. Lord, help me to really see myself tonight. Help me to really see how I am. Not just what I think I am. maybe not what other people have told me that I am. But help me to really see it like it is. And the flaws, not so that they'll condemn me, but so that I can correct things. So that I can make things right. Amen. So that I can make some things right. Hallelujah. So that I can make some things right. That's what it's about tonight. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to be haughty. I don't want to be self-righteous. Help me tonight, Jesus. Help me to be a real Christian. Help me to be filled with the love of God. So full of the love of God, my spirit will be right. I don't want to be weak. Amen. Meekness and weakness are two different things. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Amen. I don't want to lose my backbone. Amen. I don't want to not have any convictions in my life. I do want to follow after holiness. I do want to follow after righteousness. Amen. I do want to live a genuine Christian life. But help me to do it in the right spirit. Amen. You said that we are to perfect ourselves. Amen. In the body and in spirit. Amen. I do want to be perfect in the physical realm. I want to do the right things. But I also want to do things right in the spiritual realm. I want my flesh to be right, and I want my spirit to be right. Amen. I want to perfect it. I want to mature. I want to grow up. Amen. I want to do right. So I'm asking you, please help me tonight. God, you know the areas that we struggle in. Amen. I have some areas that I need you to strengthen. Some areas, God, where I'm most tempted. I ask you to set a guard there. Set a watchman on that wall. Help me, God, to be strong. Help me not to set myself up for failure, but to set myself up for success. Teach me. Help me. Help me to grow in God. Help me to grow deeper. Help me grow stronger. Help me to grow, Lord Jesus, not only more knowledgeable, but in wisdom as well. Amen. Praise God. Not just to get it in my head, but to have it in my heart and to have it in my spirit. Protect me, God, from the wiles of the devil. Protect me, God, from deception. Help me to fellowship with the truth and the spirit of truth so much that I'll always be able to recognize the spirit of error. No matter what garb it comes in, no matter how cleverly disguised. Teach me, help me, I pray, tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus did not teach a minimum standard. Jesus did not teach a minimum standard. I cannot tell you tonight how little you have to do to be saved. I don't know. The only standard Jesus ever gave that I know of, he said, be you perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. That's the only standard he taught. Amen. So I don't know any other standard to tell you but that one. Amen. And I think he gave us that one so nobody can boast. I know some mighty good people. I do.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen. I do. But I don't know anybody that's quite there yet. Amen. I know some people are trying awfully hard. And I think we're in that number. Amen. And we don't want to be deceived. Praise God. Isn't the Lord wonderful tonight? Isn't He great? Do you know what? He wants you to be saved. I said, He wants you to be saved. So you can be. Don't let the devil deceive you. You will be. Praise God. If you'll just keep following the Spirit of truth. Amen. They say that whenever the individuals that print money, when they train people to spot false bills, the way they train them is they just give them a real, genuine bill. And they said, now you study this, every detail, every little detail. Study the color, the texture, everything that's on this bill, the writing, the pictures. Study it in detail. Burn it into your mind. Burn it into your mind. They said, in that way, when you see something false, you'll recognize it. You see, they didn't teach them to study all the false stuff. They taught them the true stuff. And they said, if you'll get truth burned into your mind, you'll spot something that's false. I have a friend that his brother is studying to be a minister in an organization. And he's been in their seminary for 5 years, and they've never opened the Bible. They've studied all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of histories and doctrines. They've never studied the Bible, not one time. I went to a Bible college. I got to teach in a Bible college for a while. And you know what? From day one, this is what we taught.
Yes.
Verse by verse. Verse by verse. Because if you can get this burned into you, you'll recognize what's false. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Could we just stand together one more time and lift up our hands to the Lord and love Him and thank Him? Jesus, I thank you for the truth. Don't let me forsake it for any reason. We're living in the days of deception when it's on every hand. Powerful people in every echelon, every sphere, they're doing their best to cause us to open our minds and our hearts to deception. They're trying to shame us, intimidate us, force us, anything they can do to make us believe something else. But God, we've got to hang on to this. It's not only the hope for my soul, but it's the hope for the whole world. So thank you for truth. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.